in looking at these hauntings, mm-hmm. is that something that you would have done early in your career?
I think the answer to that question is simply no. I had a really fascinating experience just last night, actually, that says something about the question that you're asking. I was at an event in one of my favorite bookstores in Western Massachusetts, the Odyssey Bookstore, where my daughter used to work. My daughter, Emily, was the events coordinator there. And so she went with me to that event last night. And my daughter is in her mid-30s now. And we had some time on our hands. And so we took a little bit of a detour, and we went to the house that she and her husband lived in when he was a graduate student at the University of Massachusetts, and she was a bookseller at Odyssey Books. And she wanted to take a picture of the house that they lived in until their daughter Molly was born. And they brought Molly home from the hospital, and very soon after that, Steve finished up his degree work, and they moved to Brooklyn. But she wanted a picture of the house, the first place that they lived in when they were married, and she wanted to take it home and show it to her daughter Molly, who only spent 4 months there and of course has no memory of the place at all. But I could see, as Emily raised her camera to take a photo of this house, it suddenly dawned on me that my 35-year-old daughter has moved into a point in her life where looking backwards has become an issue. You know, that we live at least the first third of our lives or something like that, just looking, waiting for life to start.
Right.
And at some point it pivots. And I realized last night in looking over at my daughter, who is both at once still my child and a little girl sometimes in my eyes, but seeing a beautiful young woman who is already looking back at part of her life, not just with nostalgia, but with a kind of wonder and wanting to share things with her daughter and her son. And I think of course, I'm 66. And that pivot took place for me a long time ago, and I was already in the risk pool, I think, even as I was sensing all of that, because that was a book written when my father was dying, and I was already having a sense of that young man turning into something else, an older person, with a backward glance. What's the world going to be like when he's gone? And at 66. This particular book, Everybody's Fool, the characters that you're going to meet are going to be the same, but they're also going to be different. But it's not so much they've changed. I've changed, and I've changed and I'm not the writer I was. And so you're going to see evidence, I think, of a writer who, I've got more books behind me now than I've got ahead of me, certainly.
And there's also, I would assume, I mean, which is natural, mm-hmm. but a maturity, a maturation that comes, and just from experience.
Oh, I'd love to think so. wouldn't that be nice, Joe?
Would that be lovely? Sure. But do you still look at something that you've written? And maybe you don't allow yourself to. I don't know that I would allow myself to do this, but you would look at something that you've written and say, "Wow, I that is lovely."
Mm-hmm. Well, there are certain things, and I tend not to read my work once it's done. It's done.
Yeah.
I don't go back to it, but I have been more or less forced to go back to certain of my books because they've been optioned for films, and sometimes I've been, asked to write the screenplay, and so I'll go back to a book like The Risk Pool, and which I did a draft of a screenplay for, and looked at it again. I had mixed feelings about doing that because almost every sentence of that book I wanted to rewrite when I was going mm-hmm. back at it, because I'm a different writer now, and there are certain things that I see, and I think, oh God, I would do that in a different way now. But then there were also times when I found myself just turning pages my original thought had been analytical. What do I need from this scene in order to go into the scene? What needs to go into the screenplay? What can I cut out? I was treating it the way you would treat an autopsy. I'm looking for I'm looking for certain specific
sure.
things. What needs to be there?
Right.
What I found myself doing at times was just being caught up in the story, and turning pages and realized I'd read 10 or 12 pages, kind of lost. And that's I don't mean that to sound arrogant. But there are always times, the best times that a writer has in any book is when you lose yourself to the characters. And when you just become beside the point, you're just not important anymore. What you're trying to get to the bottom of is them in some way. And it's a lovely experience to go back to an early novel and discover that by losing yourself in some way and allowing Sam Hall and Ned Hall and Wussy and all of those characters who sprung to life in my imagination still had the power to seduce me. It wasn't that I was writing well or anything like that. These people just felt alive then. And it's such a gift every now and then to go back to something like that, and you just think to yourself, wow, this was all right. I really cared about Wussy then, and I care about him, and I still do. He's still alive for me on the page. So you started out with a corpse, and only to discover that the thing it's alive.
Very much alive.
It's alive.
Very much yeah. alive. Which brings, I guess, us to the obvious question of having done this and having written a sequel, would you ever go back to another one of your novels and say, oh, let's see another character there and look at their lives?
Well, I never say never, but it seems to me unlikely, and it seems to me unlikely for fairly practical reasons. I just delivered a collection of short fiction to my editor, and I'm an essay away from a collection of essays, and I have a seed in the back of my brain for a new novel that is not a sequel, and it feels already just in its seedling form, it feels like another big book, and these things take me five years or so to write. So factoring all of that in, 66, I'm gonna be 71, and I hope not to be finished at 71, certainly. But it just seems unlikely that I'm going to go back to Straight Man or Bridge of Sighs or Empire Falls. It just seems unlikely that I'm going to go back into the past for something when the future, frankly, is shrinking before my eyes. It just seems unlikely. But you know, it also seemed incredibly unlikely that I would ever write a sequel to Nobody's Fool, too. Right. So you know, who knows?
So it was Howard Frank Mosher's fault. He
it is. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
You dedicate the book to him.
Yeah.
And do you think that when you look at that process of a sequel to the book, a sequel to the movie.
Mm. Mm.
You would like that?
Yeah.
Although sadly,
two of the leads. I mean, that's this book has been such a melancholy book to write. I mean, this book was a joy, and I loved it. I loved revisiting Sully and Rub and Miss Burrell, and all the characters from the earlier book. It was a blast, but it was also very melancholy because the movie of Nobody's Fool was so good, and Newman was so brilliant in it. I think, and of course Philip Seymour Hoffman played Raymer, and Jessica Tandy was playing Miss Burrell, and Lord, I mean they're all gone, and Philip Seymour Hoffman was very much still alive when I began this book and was still alive 250 or 300 pages into it, and I saw him in my mind's eye, continued to see him in my mind's eye as I was writing the book. And when word came of his death, I just thought, oh, I'm going to have to put him out of my mind now, aren't I? Because, you know, one thing we know for sure is that if Officer Raymer, Chief Raymer, comes to life, it's going to be another actor. And yet I wasn't able to do it. You know, he continued to be there in memory. He continued to be there right through and continued to inspire Chief Raymer all the way through this book. But that's the thing about great actors, is that they will find a way to own that character. And if this gets picked up and a movie is made, you know, I will be surprised again, because Paul Newman was not what I was picturing for Sully, and yet he became Sully. And so I do. I hope it. I would love to see this book made into a movie.